हरे कृष्ण। ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ आवर बिलव्ड गुरु महाराज हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद वी वेलकम यू टू श्री राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर। Srila Prabhupada performed a service to Lord Krishna, who's not a hypocrite in the age of Kali. And it's very rare to find any situation where there is not quarrel and fighting in the age of Kali. In this age of Kali, Srila Prabhupada brought the highest, purest teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to every continent on the planet, without regard for a person's nationality, caste, sex, social background, education, economic condition. He freely distributed the love of God through the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And in his own life, it spread throughout the world. Now that is amazing. Even previously in great religions, the founder of the religion, when they usually passed away from this world, they only had a small handful of followers in a particular geographical area. Yes? Srila Prabhupada did not found a religion. He was a representative of Parampara. But in the order of his Guru Maharaj, he founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. At that time, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, the true understanding of Radha Krishna and Prema Bhakti, was confined only to a few people in India. But Srila Prabhupada, in just a few short years, a little over a decade, millions of people were hearing Krishna's holy names. Tens and millions of books revealing the deepest, most precious treasures of all wisdom were distributed. Over 100 temples were developed and flourishing. At the time of Srila Prabhupada, every temple was flourishing. 100 in Africa, America, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Asia, the Middle East, Iran, Southeast Asia, Australia. And on Prabhupada's order, within a couple years, China. Recently, I was reading a very beautiful description which reveals the essence of what we should aspire to become in our Krishna consciousness. Because the Acharya teaches by example. The proper consciousness in which we can access the mercy of the Lord. You see, Srila Prabhupada never claimed to be great. He always claimed to be very small and insignificant. as every bona fide acharya has done throughout history. He understood the greatness of God, the greatness of the parampara. And he always claimed that my only qualification, I am simply representing my Guru Maharaj and repeating the word of Krishna as it is. In the year 1980, one elderly Bengali sadhu came to the Mayapur Chandrodai Mandir in Sri Mayapur Dham. He told the devotees that he had an amazing story to tell. He said that he was pujari at Advaita Bhavan in Shantipur, which is the house of Sri Advaitacharya. He had been pujari for a very long time. He was remembering in the 1940s and 50s, on a regular basis, a grihastha Bengali would come to Advaita Bhavan. He was dressed in very simple white khadi, dhoti, kurta. And this man would sit in the back of the temple. He always came alone. There in the back of the temple, he didn't speak anything to anyone. But hour after hour after hour, he deeply concentrated on the chanting of the holy names as he fingered his japa mala. Pujari said, oftentimes I would see tears filling his eyes as he repeatedly cried out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This went on for many years. He would come on weekends, usually every month, and just sit in back of the temple and deeply chant. Then as he was leaving, he would go to the pujari with folded palms and thank him. For very many years, the pujari never saw this person coming again. He wondered what had become of him, because the depth and sincerity in which this person chanted the holy names deeply affected the pujari's heart. He had very high admiration, respect, and devotion toward this person. Pujari told the devotees, a long time after that, and he remembered specifically, was the month of August of 1965. He happened to see in the back of the temple room there was a man dressed in saffron, a sannyasi, who was deeply chanting the holy names on his japa mala. The pujari immediately recognized that it was the same man, his long-lost friend. They were deep friends, although they never even spoke to each other. Because this person was so engrossed in his chanting, in a very solitary mood, that the pujari never wanted to disturb him. Now as a sannyasi, that personality was chanting so intensely. And tears were pouring from his eyes as he cried out the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. He chanted like this through the entire day. When evening came, the sannyasi offered his dandavat pranams before the deities and remained there for a very long time. When he came up with folded palms, he thanked the pujari for his wonderful service to the deities. It was at that time that the pujari asked him, "You have been coming for a long time. What is your name?" The sannyasi replied, "My name is Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami. And I am the unqualified disciple of my Gurudev, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. I have been coming here for a very long time because my Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible mission. He desires that I cross the oceans to the Western world to teach the people the sublime message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the West, there are countless souls who have never heard of Radha and Krishna, who have no conception of the pure path of bhakti, and therefore they are suffering. I do not know how to reach them, how to help them. It is a great mystery. But I do know that here at the house of Advaitacharya, Sri Advaita, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would meet. They would take prasad, have Nam Sankirtan, and discuss amongst themselves ways to expand the movement of love of God, Sri Harinam Sankirtan, to inundate all of India and the world. So I have been coming here for a long time, meditating on the impossible mission that my Guru Maharaj has given me, and begging Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and my Gurudev to bless me, to give me the intelligence and to empower me to fulfill their will. Otherwise, it is impossible without their help. So I am praying and praying and praying all these years for their help. Tomorrow, I am leaving Sri Navadvip Dham for Calcutta, where I will board a boat that will carry me across the ocean to America. I do not know what will befall upon me there. But I do know that I require the blessings and the help of the great souls. How will I fulfill this mission without the help of Guru and Gauranga? As unqualified as I am. Srila Prabhupada then begged the pujari for his blessings as well and departed. The sadhu explained that years went by and then something very extraordinary took place. He started seeing white people coming to Shantipur, offering obeisances to the deities at Advaita's house. They had shaved heads. They were dhoti, kurta. Ladies were wearing sari. They all had tilak and tulsi beads, kanti mala. He was shy. He never said a word to any of them, but he was watching. What's happening? Who are these people? Years went by, and one of those people gave the pujari a Back to Godhead magazine. He was looking at the photos in Back to Godhead. Amazing photos. People from all over the world chanting Hare Krishna, living lives as devotees, temples everywhere. And then he saw a photo of the founder Acharya, who established Krishna consciousness all over the world. When he saw the photo, he had to cry. It was him. It was him. It was him. His dear friend, Srila Prabhupada, who for years and years and years prayed for help, and who left India alone on a cargo ship with no help from anyone. But this pujari was rejoicing. He did it. He actually did it. He has accomplished the impossible mission. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The pujari said that when I read this Back to Godhead and I saw that you're opening temple in Mayapur, he said, I had to come here just to tell all of you what I know about your Guru Maharaj and my beloved friend, Srila Prabhupada. It is for this reason, and so many other unlimited reasons, that the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness feel so specially blessed. Because whoever comes to this society sincerely, with a genuine aspiration for pure devotional service, is under the shelter of the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. As His Holiness Satsvarup Goswami Maharaj has so beautifully written, Srila Prabhupada lives forever. And those who sincerely follow His teachings forever live with Him. Srila Prabhupada did such an extraordinary service, but he never, ever, ever felt himself to be the doer. That is extraordinary. That is love. Love of God is when you give all credit to God. If you want to take credit for yourself, that is due to lack of love. If you actually love God, it's your spontaneous, natural pleasure to give all credit for all good things to God. If we want to take credit for ourselves, it's not only false ego, it's a deficiency of love. Love is selfless. If someone praises us, if we love God, we want to give that praise to Him. We don't want to keep a trace of it. Because we love. We want to give everything to Krishna. We want all glory to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, time and again, invited God brothers of his to be in charge of the whole mission. Again and again. Several of them. I'll establish. I'll do it. You be the guru. You be in charge. But his God brothers, for various reasons, they were simply unable to participate on hardly any level. So you see, Srila Prabhupada didn't start this mission so that he could be a guru, so that he could be an acharya, so that he could be famous throughout history. He was willing to do all the work and give all the credit to his God brothers. And that's documented through letters, through discussions, and even through the testimony of his own God brothers. Yes. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, you be in charge of the mission. You be the guru. I'll do the work. Great personalities. Many very dear friends of Srila Prabhupada. But because of their own services, they were just unable to extend themselves in this way. So you see, Srila Prabhupada was happy just to be in the background and give all credit to everyone. But it was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna wanted the whole world for all time to come to understand the selfless, pure, unalloyed devotion of this personality, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Krishna made him the founder Acharya. Krishna arranged that he had nothing. Nothing except that prayer and that faith. Sometimes we become impatient because our project isn't becoming fabulously successful very quickly. Who are we? How are we empowered by God? Why should we be so impatient? Look at Srila Prabhupada. He descended from Goloka Vrindavan. He was a pure devotee from birth. He was meditating on this mission from 1922. In his own house, in his temple, he was praying practically constantly. He had his family obligations that he had to meet according to the principles of Dharma for some time. But even then, he was planning, he was praying and preparing to fulfill his guru's desire. It's really amazing what sincerity is. His Guru Maharaj has said this their first meeting. Now most of us, if somebody tells us something that's so absurd and impossible, we just take it in passing. We take it as something symbolic that I should chant Hare Krishna and be serious. That I should preach. Yes. But Prabhupada took that instruction from the very beginning as his life and soul. I have to do it. He has given me the instruction. I have to do it. Prabhupada was not initiated. He just met his guru for the first time. In fact, he didn't get initiated till 11 years later. That is how serious he was about the vows he was going to take. But even those 11 years as an uninitiated devotee, he was helping his guru's mission whenever possible, and he was constantly meditating on this impossible mission. How to do it? How to do it? And when he would come to Advaita Bhavan, whenever possible, to Srinavadvip, Vrindavan, he would sit and just take shelter of the holy name, weeping in a helpless state of mind, crying for the help of his guru and the Lord and his associates. Help me, help me. My guru has given me this mission. It must be done. Yes, Srila Prabhupada specifically prepared from 1922 to 1966 when he established ISKCON. And those who knew him all those years in between, they all said that although he performed his daily duties as he was supposed to, it was almost mechanical. In his heart of hearts, in his mind, his soul, he had this passion. I must perform the work of my Guru Maharaj. That was his ultimate priority through all those years. And after he actually did it, he gave all credit to the power of his spiritual master's instruction. He gave all credit to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He was just the puppet, the dancing puppet in their hands. He gave all credit to his disciples, who he lifted up from the gutter of materialism, spoon-fed them, trained them, inspired them, empowered them in every way to do wonderful things. But he would give all credit to them. Without you, what could I have done? My guru is empowering all of you to fulfill his mission. That is Srila Prabhupada. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, he established the highest example of pure bhakti for all to follow in this age of Kali, and gave the simple process by which each and every one of us can realize and directly experience the spiritual world of Sri Radha Gopinath, Vrindavan Dham, through proper Vaishnava relationships and by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna. But in order to chant the holy names properly, this type of humility, tolerance, and respect toward others is essential. This is the culture of bhakti. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasihishvana. Amanina manadena kiratiniya sadahari. This one verse encapsulates the entire culture of pure devotional service. And if we understand this verse and sincerely try to practice it, then everything else naturally unfolds and is revealed as we cry out Krishna's holy name. If you can chant much louder, please, it will be very nice. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. If you can chant much louder, it will be even better. Hopefully you can practice like this, and when I come back in January, you can chant very loudly. We want to fill the world with Krishna's beautiful name. Today it is my great pleasure to invite some of our devotees to make presentations to all the congregation and devotees of the ashram. Presentations of beautiful projects which are expanding here in Bombay and throughout the world in the service of Srila Prabhupada. Please know that all these projects that we are involved in, all of these projects that are touching so many people's souls, the foundation of those projects, the very foundation of those projects, is Srila Prabhupada's helpless prayer to perform this impossible mission. The foundation of this project was Prabhupada begging Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and the Parampara for help as he chanted the holy names. When Prabhupada said, "I made your qualifications," it was his prayer. It was his chanting of the holy names in that spirit that is factually our only qualification. And therefore, all generations of devotees within our ISKCON society are most grateful and satisfied to remain faithful under the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and trying to assist him in any way possible to perform the impossible mission that his Guru Maharaj gave him. Thank you very much. This time we have the very, very illustrious Vaishnav Haridas Prabhu, who has descended from the spiritual world of Radha Ras Bihari Temple. Just last week I was at Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari's temple, and in Haridas Prabhu's studio he has so much technology that a simple boy like me was really bewildered. And it even looked like he was bewildered. But despite all these computers and machines and sophisticated software boxes and everything else that was there, I saw on the walls some beautiful photographs of Haridas Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada together. And he told me that he has in his possession over 40 different photographs of him with Srila Prabhupada. But a few of them, where he's really immersed in loving service to Srila Prabhupada, he put on his walls just to remember how Prabhupada accepted his services. Now, Haridas Prabhu, he has very amazing vision for spreading Krishna consciousness. And the most amazing thing is how Srila Prabhupada is empowering him to fulfill various projects that we have never seen before. So today, Haridas Prabhu will bewilder us by giving us a presentation of the incredible services he's doing, and he will also offer us extraordinary opportunities to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna in any situation in life. Haridas Prabhu, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. I've been always the students. At this age, I have to still go to school of this to upgrade this situation. Last 8 years, we've been doing a television business, and mainly in this temple, most of the devotees, they said they have no television. They don't like to watch. So they miss quite a ISKCON program. Anyway, whatever you have, now sign a Tata BSNL broadband internet 24 hours live program from the Juhu temple, of course. And when the deities are closed, we have a variety program, like all the Atmas, documentaries, talk show, debate. And suppose you have some question on email, you can write the question to Maharaj. We make sure we follow him and shoot him and answer in the next day or whichever date is available. So that's in Tata Broadband. And our sites are www.iskonmumbai.com and krishna.com. So this is broadband, not just internet, broadband HD, high definition cameras and the sound. You're getting 24 hours. Even those who have internet on the mobile, they can watch everything on the mobiles. So this is the replacement of the television program on your laptop. Live program all over the world, on a laptop, on your computer, on your cell. So you cannot escape from the Krishna. We'll chase you with Krishna with this kind of facility, what we have. Then this is launched last year, this year, Janmashtami. And then last year we launched Tata Telephone. This year we have more of this Reliance, Airtel, Idea, Hutch, BSNL, MTNL. These are the major company of India. They cover 75% population of India of their cell altogether. So here also you have a ISKCON entire program on your cell. Their wallpaper, videos, ringtones, entire slokas of Bhagavad Gita, all the calendars of ISKCON, yearly festival, Ekadasi festival, cooking recipes, and all about ISKCON. So they all the channels, all the cell, they carry their ISKCON zone and their details there, how to get them on your cell. So 24 hours you have a Krishna consciousness. And when the DT close time, we'll have a live counseling program with any of the sannyasis available around. And if you have a question, we can make sure he answer right there on the spot. So your question has to be on the internet and on the live audio video, you can follow them, your answer. So this is the latest achievement of ISKCON Television. Then now also we are finding it's getting outdated, all the television itself. So you are coming with the DTH, Tata DTH, Tata Sky, direct to your home. All the internet, everything with the television, and we have a 90 minutes program of the Krishna consciousness. As Maharaj very freshly reminded me how Prabhupada is the owner of everything. 1975, once I was following with one small camera to Prabhupada in almost two, three days. And one place he stopped. He said, stop following me with the camera. You make movie about Krishna and I will direct. So Prabhupada is still the director of the whole ITV shows. This is a secret of successful. So the other day when Maharaj came, I don't know how this is happening. Now I know, after hearing Maharaj, why this is happening. It's because of Prabhupada. You know, the other day when Maharaj came, I said, how all this happened to me? I was wondering, you know. So now my mind is very clear because Prabhupada, he's directing the souls. He's a boss, he's the owner and producer and director of the souls. So this is very clearly to hear still fresh unknown stories. My business is another so-called Discovery Channel, and at BBC we do the Discovery Channel. So this is for me a discovery. I wish I find the gentleman you mentioned, the head pujari, if he's around. I'd like to suit him again and bring the rest of the world for this. So this is me, for me is a discovery what I heard from Maharaj about that Adaita Palace Mahal's head pujari. So like this, every day, Krishna consciousness is a fresh. It's never stale. Every day fresh, every day new discovery, new channels are happening. Ideas that we always... I really glad to hear from Maharaj how Prabhupada always took the back seat. Even in front of us, he always took the back seat. You know, like he put everybody. So for me, this back seat is really... comfortable place for me, you know, very comfortable. Behind the cameras, most secure. Nobody wants to topple me, you know, nobody has a politics. So that was very comfortable. That was another maybe secret of successful, how we can stay in Krishna consciousness. So please find everybody in your spiritual life a back seat. It's the most secure. Sorry, Mark. Nobody wants to topple your seat. If more in the front seat, there's chance. Distraction in the spiritual life. As I said, I mean all this business. This time I'm not doing a business, but just making a little presentation for Maharaj. Thank you very much to tolerate me. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Haridas Prabhu. He gave us good wisdom. But it's safer to be in the back seat. The only possibility of safety in the front seat if you put your safety belt on properly. And that safety belt is Trinadapi Sunichena Tador Ivasi Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. For somehow in the front seat without that safety belt of Trinadapi Sunichena, it's just a matter of time till we go flying through the windshield. And into the hospital. Or the grave. Hare Krishna. So now we would like to ask His Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu to make a presentation about the amazing, incredible services he's rendering through his Midday Meals program. Radha Krishna Prabhu is one of the very senior most devotees of Radha Gopinath Temple. He was one of, when we first started the counselor system, there were four counselors, and he was amongst them. He was managing so many projects in this temple for many years. Much of what you see is due to his hard work and efforts. And when he was inspired to begin this Midday Meals program, there was nothing. And how rapidly it has developed and expanded. It's absolutely amazing. And he is so precise and uncompromising in the standards that last year, my dear friend Gary, his auntie, Shelley Sterling, she came to Bombay. Now, she's very much in the high aristocracy of Southern California, which includes not Bollywood, but Hollywood. Her and her husband, they're huge real estate owners in Beverly Hills. They own apartment buildings, hotels. In fact, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Radha Priya Mataji, when they came to California earlier this year, they stayed as special guests of Shelley's Beverly Hills Hotel. They own a basketball team. I mean, they are really very, very top people in the social economic sectors of society. And when she saw the food for the midday meals kitchen in Taradev, she was astounded. She said the cleanliness and sanitation is as good or better as the 5-star hotels in America. She was amazed. And she even pledged that she was going to try to raise funds for the midday meals program just by seeing. So I'd like to introduce this very dear friend and of mine, Dr. Radhakrishna Prabhu, and he will present a video that he arranged to be made about what Radha Gopinath Temple and all of you are participating in as far as giving Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's prasad to tens and thousands of people every day. Hare Krishna. Speaking to a wonderful friend who is also very aware of what's happening in Bombay. He's involved in newspaper. He was expressing his grave concern. That the young people in Bombay, meaning teenagers in their 20s, it is becoming a fashion. We would call it an addiction to be out till to be outside of their home till 4 o'clock in the morning. And there's practically nothing the parents can do about it. Now, this man was telling me, this is not just a small group of people, especially amongst the wealthier class. It's like an epidemic. Srila Prabhupada, with all due respect to all the Bharatvarsha Vasis, he said that America is like a civilization of crows. Why? Because what do crows love to eat? Who would like to speak the answer? Whatever your realization is, say it loud at this time. I heard two words, sewage and garbage. I didn't hear rasgullas or halva. Sewage and garbage. I often cite an instance where I was in Vrindavan Forest one day and there were dozens of sweet chirping birds eating from the flowers of the kadamba tree, drinking the nectar from various other flowers. And then I came out, and there was an old barrel used for garbage. And this is before Vasudev was in charge of cleaning. It had not been emptied for a long time. It was quite overflowing with fermented, disintegrating, obnoxious garbage. And all along the rim of that barrel were crows. They were not chirping. What is the sound of crows, everyone? Yes. Is it a sweet sound? Does anyone get CDs for the purpose of relaxation, of crows cawing? They were calling, and they were calling with immense enthusiasm. They found a treasure. That treasure was the fermented, decomposing garbage. They were diving in and eating and eating and eating, and they were really enthusiastic. And what do you think they sounded like at that time, everybody? Something like that. Srila Prabhupada explains that a crow wants to eat sewage garbage. A swan likes to taste the sweet nectar from the lotus flower. Garbage means puna punas charavita charavananam, in Prahlad Maharaj's words. Chewing that which has already been chewed. Sense gratification. Nayam deho de habajam na loke kastan kaman arhadi vibhujam je. The Supreme Lord Rishabdev has told us in this way, that now that you have attained the human form of life, do not waste time with sense gratification. Why? Because sense gratification are available to the dogs and hogs that eat stool. Or in this particular analogy, to the crows that suck sewage. Human life is meant for tapasya. And what is tapasya? To accept what is favorable for devotional service to realize our loving relationship with God. If we are not performing tapasya for that purpose of love of God, then the Vedas describe us to be two-legged animals. Hare Krishna, or crows. So Western civilization is very much based on sense gratification. And because they have cultivated with their human intelligence better and better, better, better and better, more sophisticated, more satisfying ways of enjoying the senses, they have very much excelled in the science. But Eastern civilization has always been based on high principles of morality, ethics, and spiritual enlightenment. The sages and rishis of India were influencing the masses to live simple lives, focus their lives on God, simple living and high thinking. So over the years, Western culture has really developed the science of performing sinful activities and enjoying. And India's way, way behind. Yes? I remember there was a room conversation where Srila Prabhupada was in one of the cities of the West, and an Indian gentleman asked about Krishna. And Prabhupada chastised him. You're from India. You don't know the answer. You don't know who Krishna is. Shame, shame. You've come to the West like a new crow looking for sense gratification. You forgot your own culture. You're asking who is Krishna? So yes, the Western civilization is a civilization of old crows. Why do we say old crows? Because they've been eating that garbage for so long. They're still enthusiastic, but it's no big thing to them. They'll fly to their pilgrimage site, and they'll eat their garbage, and they'll enjoy. But it's just the same old stuff. Puna punas charvata charvananam. Chewing that which has already been chewed. Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada said, when Indians, Bharata, Bhumite Hoila, Manusya Janmajar, who are supposed to be spreading love of God all over the world because they're so fortunate to be born in the land of Dharma, the place where Krishna appeared, Rama appeared, Buddha appeared. So many great avatars and acharyas have appeared here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, they all appeared in this land. It's the duty of every person who takes birth in India to realize their heritage of love of prema bhakti, sanatana dharma, and to spread it throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada said, when Indians try to imitate the people of the West by tasting these types of newer forms of sense gratification, westernized forms of sense gratification, they are the civilization of new crows. What is it? Nava crows? What is crow in Hindi? The International Society for Nayakavas. Indians are now all over the world trying to enjoy that garbage. A fact. And the founder of Acharya is Kali. So, Prabhupada said, when Indians try to enjoy the types of sense gratification of the Western people, he said it's all new to them. They're so enthusiastic. And it is a fact. I was discussing with some of our brahmacharis who went abroad, and almost everybody from abroad who comes to India, they're shocked. Because in America, the hoardings are billboards. You know, they're advertising Maya and sense gratification. But they do it with a certain amount of class, sophistication, and restraint. But India, the hoardings are the most explicit and, for a moral person, obnoxiously disgusting in the world. You just have people stabbing people, killing people, embracing people, dressed in all kinds of crazy ways. What is that? It is the International Society for Navakawa. But the new crows. They're so enthusiastic. Yes. People of very high society, they tell me when they go to parties in the West, it's not as obscene as the high society parties in India. The amount of alcohol, the amount of drugs, the amount of explicit sense gratification. Yes, in the West. Benjamin Franklin, who came from America, he said, early to bed, early to rise, make people healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yes? But other people in the West came to this sense gratification of staying out all night, usually till 12 or 1 in the morning. But the new crows in Bombay, 4 o'clock in the morning, almost every night, sitting at these coffee shops. I mean, what do you do at a coffee shop? Absurd. Waste of life. But it's like an epidemic. Why? And I was thinking that young people, their nature is they flow with the current of the society around them. I was only supposed to speak a few words, but I've become emotional. So I'm speaking a little extra, I'm sorry. With your permission. The young people, by nature, they follow their peers. Because when you get into your teenage and 20s, you're not so much concerned with what your parents say or think, because it's not cool. You're more concerned with what the generation of your peers are thinking. You want to feel accepted, because your parents accept you ultimately, no matter what you do. But you want the peers to accept you. So they follow. And generally, it's all in the, according to the Western civilization especially, peers are usually immersed in higher, more bizarre forms of sense gratification. Sometimes a misfit who can't really make it and be very highly accepted in this sense gratification society, they'll join a gang where they'll, with violence, they can be actually accepted as somebody important. And actually, sociologically, most of these people who join terrorist organizations are just failures in society. They're from economically depressed places. They're not really making it. They're not getting recognition. But here, they can be in a group of people where they can be so highly recognized, respected, and accepted for something anybody could do. Killing others. That's what it's about. And then they put a philosophy or an ideal on it. Every violent gang, every terrorist group, they all have their ideals. Where is it coming from? People want this sense of social acceptance. They want this sense of importance. So they follow the peers. Jesus Christ and Prahlad Maharaj said the same analogy. When the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. That is what the new generation is. According to psychologists in this world, they say the new generation is called the me generation. What does me generation? I, me, mine. Everything centered around me. Not much empathy or sympathy to others. Our priority in life is me. Selfishness. Egotism. That's what today's generation is made out of. This is not the Hare Krishna speaking. This is the psychologist, psychiatrist, and social reform and sociologists of the world, in the secular world. The me generation. Everyone is so self-centered. Everyone is concerned with their own sense gratification, with their own prestige, with their own progress in their materialistic life. This is Kali Yuga. Human life is meant for service. It's not meant for egoistic selfishness. But most people, unless they have an alternative, unless they have a society of alternatives, they have no choice. But there are so many people who want an alternative. We see this in Bombay. We just have a few brahmacharis going to colleges. And the same people who are just floating in that current of the old crow, of the new crows, toward sinful life, toward materialistic life, toward wasteful life, they have to have a society of people around them. They have to fit in. It's a human need. When they hear the devotees speak about high ideals, ethics, morality, love of God, philosophy, and they see there's people that they could really respect, they come right out of that current and enter into the path of bhakti. In our prayer and our festivals, there's over 1,000 people that come almost every month. Just here in Bombay, there's 600 students that are chanting 16 rounds. And in Pune, I believe there's about 400 or 500 students chanting 16 rounds under Radhe Shyam Prabhu's able guidance. So between Bombay and Pune, about 1,200 people, students in the colleges, are chanting 16 rounds, and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands more, are chanting regularly, following the regulative principles. And they're excited, they're enthusiastic, they want to make a positive change in the world together. Because we give them the opportunity. This value education program is very, very important. It's a step into people's lives. In the colleges, we're giving very straight out Krishna conscious programs often. And we're attracting so many. But if it were a program wherein we can reach people not so straight in that spiritual vein, but as Prabhupada explained about the Bhaktivedanta Institute, just explain the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in their language. So that Prabhupada, in Bhaktivedanta Institute, he didn't say anything different. He basically said, just teach what is in the Bhagavad Gita as it is in their language, scientific language. So that scholars, professors, they don't feel intimidated. They can hear it. Value education program is really, really important. The future of all of India is in the hands of these people who are sitting in coffee houses all night, taking intoxications, having girlfriends and boyfriends, and just trying to passionately imitate the nonsense of Western civilization, thinking that it's cool. It's not cool. It's cruel to your own soul and to every other soul around. In the name of fun. But yes, if we can present the higher values of morality, ethics, service to others, and love of God, so many people will be saved from this. Conspiracy of Kali. So I am appealing to everyone that we make this value education program a priority. And what we really require is congregational devotees who are willing to spare some of their time to be trained as teachers. Coordinators and teachers to go to these high schools, colleges, or whatever, and present the package of how to present it. Radha Krishna Prabhu, Prem Nidhi Prabhu, and others have already put together very nicely, and they're still working on improving it, Shikshastakam Prabhu. But just to learn how to present nicely and to actually go to these schools and present. And I think it's a fantastic service. Prabhupada will bless us and so many people, innocent people, who are just being dragged by these ropes, will have the alternative, and so many will take the alternative and live wonderful, wonderful lives. So please, if you are interested, speak to Prem Nidhi Prabhu or Radha Krishna Prabhu or Radhapati Prabhu. Radhapati Prabhu has been very much engaged in this wonderful service, committing time and energy. Prem Leela Devi Mataji, she has also dedicated herself to helping in this project. Both boys and girls, men and women, males and females. Everyone is welcome to participate. Thank you very much. And is our Kali Yuga technology working properly yet? Huh? We're going to give it one more try. Maybe two more tries. Let us see. But Midday Meals is another program that if anyone would like to participate, it's spreading Krishna's prasad in all directions.
May we have the light?
Where there is Godhead, there is light. The coordinator of our value education program is preaching that we should turn off the lights.
Light in our life, Maharaj.
Turn off the light in your heart for sense gratification, you cannot focus on the light of Krishna consciousness. Thank you, Radha Krishna Prabhu. Let us all express our gratitude to him for his very dedicated hard work in this regard.